That's a pleasant note, isn't it? This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. By the way, we are on Spotify. You can go to bit.ly/Taylor-report. We're going to be joined now by representatives of CUPE Local 1281, and they are full-time staff at the University of Toronto Student Union, and there may, we are told, there may be a strike coming, and soon, and it will affect campus food bank and health services affecting everybody, and there is a problem because the employer is seeking a rollback to their rights. We're joined, I believe, by Marco Hernandez and Ferris Bledden. Are you there? Hello?
Hi, we're here. Can you hear us?
Hi, how are you?
We're doing great. Here. How are you doing?
Good, and we're glad to be talking to you because here we are with a situation, programs and services affecting University of Toronto students and community. I guess I would like to ask Marco, if you're there, your work involves the food bank and tax clinic and mental health support. That's rather important to students. Can you talk about that and how these will be affected by if it comes to a strike?
Sounds good. I can share a bit more information about that. So as you mentioned, I am the Programs and Services Coordinator at the University of Toronto Students Union. One of my main portfolios is the food bank, and I also help to run the tax clinic and ensure that students are able to access mental health support. Mm-hmm. All of our essential services, if we go on strike, will be suffering, including the food bank, as mentioned, tax clinic. Also, our welcome desk that helps students with health and dental questions, mm-hmm. and students being able to access mental health support will greatly suffer if we go on strike, which is extremely concerning as they are essential services that are accessed by students every day.
Mm-hmm.
So,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Now, the difference is, my understanding is that you're asking. The ask on your side of the CUPE Local 1281 is that you wanted a COLA, cost of living allowance increase, and you're looking for more sick days. And, of course, there's always this question about this is a issue throughout our society, the issue of working from home. And so tell us, if that's your position, and what is the position of the employer, and so how wide are the differences?
Yeah, maybe I can jump in
sure.
here and answer. Thank you so much for bringing up this important information. There's a lot of concessions being asked by our employer, and it's really alarming because a lot of the people in the bargaining unit have been here for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So our employer is asking us to change our working hours so that we'll have to work on evenings and weekends. And they're also looking to block out periods where we traditionally have been able to spend time with our families during the summer. Mm-hmm. And the possibility of working on evenings and weekends will greatly impact the workplace culture, mental health, the workload issues, and our ability to provide holistic programming to students that requires the expertise brought forward mm-hmm. by our colleagues in the union. Mm-hmm. And 40% of our union has children under the age of 10 with family status needs. And the retention of experienced staff on our team is threatened by all these concessions that our employer is requesting.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to add to that mm-hmm. it's also going to continue eroding our jobs and work. It's going to impact our workload conditions that are already an ongoing issue across our team. And mm-hmm. we are just asking for a fair wage increase in light of the affordability crisis that we're all experiencing right now.
Mm-hmm. I guess people are sort of surprised that this would be occurring. It doesn't, I don't see, you know, like the severe questions, the asks from the union more sick days. That everybody understands that, and working from home, and a COLA increase. By the way, given we all have the background now of a troubled economy, those seem to sound like very basic. You would think it could be resolved. How wide is the difference between you folks and the employer?
I can take that. As of right now, the employer doesn't seem to be budging on any of our asks, and they're really trying to strong arm us with the concessions that they're asking for. Mm-hmm. And these concessions are going to impact students because it's going to impact the ways that we're able to serve our community. They've already traditionally been we've been having issues where they've been, trying to merge job descriptions together, and they're putting one whole portfolio into one of our colleagues. And this is a really big issue because it's going to take away from our ability to promote student initiative. Mm-hmm. We've had roles on our team been vacant for years, and our digital meeting coordinator has already taken on work from a role that the employer had laid off a while ago. Mm-hmm. And this is a huge threat in our ability to provide advocacy and marketing for student clubs and initiatives.
Mm-hmm. If I could ask you, Ferris, about this, you yourself have family, and this matter of August vacations, could you speak to that? Why is this so sharp a question?
Yeah, this is such a sharp question because we've historically always been able to take vacation with our families in the summer. Having taken vacation last summer, we had our historically largest attended club's carnival for orientation ever, with 18,000 students in attendance and 300 clubs showcased. The big issue with the employer asking for us to not be able to take vacation in the summer months means that a lot of the people on our bargaining unit will no longer be able to vacation with their children. We have family status needs, and having to request from our children's fathers to be able to pull them out of school during the school year because we're not able to vacation in the summer when we've been pulling historically higher numbers than ever. Vacationing in the summer, it's important for our team to not burn out and to be able to spend quality time with the people in our lives. It feels very unreasonable that the employer is requesting this, especially since it is one of our slower periods in the summer when students are off and campus is less busy. It just makes no sense.
Is it just they want to make their own executive jobs simpler to do? Is it just I agree with you. I can't understand why anybody that would be something they would resist.
We're also extremely disappointed with how things have been going because we also don't understand why our team. We range anywhere from 3 years of already having been working at this organization up to 7 years. So we're extremely loyal employees. We care about the mandate of the organization. And I want to tell people the University of Toronto Students Union is a not-for-profit organization on campus. We are a social justice organization that are supposed to be equity-focused. However, the way that we're being treated right now during bargaining, which may lead to the potential strike by the end of the month, is not in an equitable manner at all of a social justice organization. And it's extremely concerning that this is happening here. And we want everyone to know and to bring light to these issues that we're experiencing at the staff level, because it's going to greatly impact the frontline work that we do every single day and the students that are accessing our services, including the food bank.
Mm-hmm. This other matter, I noticed that the idea of changing, making job description vague, that sounds, again, like an issue, and I guess, Ferris, you might speak to this, is that if you make it vague, it's sort of people find it harder to understand what they're expected to do, right? Or they're expected to do things which probably they should receive different compensation for. Could you mention that or talk about it?
Yeah, for sure. Essentially, what our employer is trying to do is take away the bargaining unit's ability to do the important frontline work, like my colleague Marco had just mentioned. So creating these vague job descriptions and combining multiple job descriptions takes away from our ability to advocate for the students. As Marco had mentioned, we're on the front lines. We're working with students. Last year was, like I had mentioned previously, a historically largest clubs carnival. We had about 18,000 students come out to attend, and we had the largest number of clubs showcased, 300. And we hear that students want more clubs to be able to participate in this event. But with the concessions that the employer is asking for, we're worried that we're not going to be able to provide services to as many clubs and students going forward. Mm-hmm. When we have combined job descriptions and shared roles, we're not able to advocate for the students. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge issue for our organization.
Yes.
I also want to add to that. So through this concession that the employer has been pressing our programs team to take on multiple roles by combining two of our job descriptions into one, that is extremely concerning. The reason for that is because having a generic job description that's shared amongst multiple coordinators, myself and my colleague Wafia, it'll severely negatively impact the retention of current staff that are highly skilled and extremely passionate about providing these vital services like the food bank to students in need. And we see this every single week. I hear students tell me every week that they rely on the food bank service. They need the food for their dependents, their children, their families. I'm extremely concerned about what may happen if we go on strike and thereafter, if they push these concessions forward and they force us to accept, because the food bank serves students in need and it will have a negative effect on them being able to access food and their health and well-being and their livelihood.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that the students are sort of learning of this. I know that you have had press statements. If people go to QP Local 1281, can they get the information there of what the content of this issue is about?
Yes, absolutely. They can check out QP 1281 Instagram page to find out more information about what's happening at the UTSU. And we will have more information going forward posted on there on how students can stand up for the staff on campus, who's advocating for them. And any calls to action will be also posted on there as well.
Mm-hmm. I want to add to that, too. So their webpage is 1281.qp.ca. And if you go to the news page, that's where you can find the press release from last week. Also, if you go to their Instagram, QP1281, you can see our post from last week. And they'll be posting additional information on ways that students can support us. And we're also open to having more of these types of interviews and keeping people updated as we progress through the month.
Yeah, I guess we can say between the two of you that seems to be a consensus. This is going to be coming to a head probably within a couple of weeks, right?
Yes, absolutely. We're looking at the end of the month. We're hoping that the employer can see where we're coming from and will drop their concessions because, as you know, we've stated throughout this interview, those concessions are really going to negatively impact the community that we serve, the events that the student union puts forward, and all of the important programs and services like the food bank.
Yeah. Well, Marco Hernandez, Program and Services Coordinator for the University of Toronto Student Union, and Ferris Bledden, Events and Engagement Coordinator. I thank you both very much, and I really hope things come out happily for you.
Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you so much, Phil.
Sure thing. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. Perhaps we could have a touch of music, and we'll be back in a moment.